So you might think this year's wildfire season is a closed chapter, but history would caution otherwise. Tomorrow marks 5 years since the Camp Fire, the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California history. And in Southern California, the 2017 Thomas Fire is among one of the largest and most destructive in state history, and that ignited in December, as well as the 2018 Woolsey Fire, which ignited the same day as the Camp Fire. They are all sobering reminders that wildfires can defy seasons and be year-round. Craig Clements is the director of the Wildfire Interdisciplinary Research Center at San Jose State University and joins us with a clear picture of where things stand so far this year. Thank you for joining us, Professor Clements.
Thanks for having me.
So is wildfire season over for you this year?
For me? Well, I don't think it's over yet. We are in better shape. It's getting very close, though, because Northern California, we just had this recent rain. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just had the Highland Fire in Riverside County last week. So if we look at fire danger across the state, Northern California is very, very low in most of the regions, but Southern California is moderate to higher. So Southern California is not out of fire danger or out of the fire season. Northern California is coming to a close, but that could change as well.
Is that why when you look back at 2017 with the Thomas Fire, that was in Southern California and it ignited in December? Is the southern part of the state, does a wildfire season go later into the fall and even into potentially the winter?
Yeah, it can. It just depends on if we have fall precipitation events. That can really, and depending on the amount of precipitation, it really can shut down fire season. So if northern, you know, we've had a couple of cold fronts come through this season so far in Northern California, and as a result, the fire risk is very low. That changes day to day. And what people need to realize is that if we get, like, you know, a warming trend, the fire danger will change. And if we get cooler, wetter weather, that will then decrease the fire risk. So it just depends on the day-to-day weather through this period of time in the late fall.
How would you characterize this year so far?
We were well below average, as you probably know, with just close to about 300,000 acres burned across the state. That is significantly lower than what we've seen in our previous years of, you know, millions of acres in a fire season. I think we had that wet winter that we were just talking about, and last year was very fortunate for us because it allowed the fuel moistures to remain high. They're actually still above normal for this time of year, which is decreasing the fire risk for much of the state, particularly Northern California.
Why is fuel moisture so important and how is it measured?
Yeah, so the fuel moisture content is the amount of water inside a plant, and we use that as a metric for flammability, so how easy a plant will ignite. And unfortunately, it's very difficult to measure this stuff because you have to go out into the field and take clippings. And this is done across the state from a number of agencies, including San Jose State. We have a long-term site. Cal Fire has a number of sites. And then the utilities, PG&E, Southern California Edison, and San Diego Gas and Electric, they all have a number of sites. So we're talking probably about over 100 sites that are sampled twice a month, regularly, like on the 1st and on the 15th. And so we go out, we do the clippings, we bring those back into the lab, we weigh them, and then we dry them. And we typically sample chamise and some sage and manzanita. And so we stick to the same type of plants around the state. And that way we can get a climatology of what the plants are doing and how they're responding to the current weather and to the precipitation from the previous year.
So given that fuel moisture is looking good this year, I mean, is that the biggest role that plays into a relatively mild wildfire year this year? You mentioned 300,000 acres that have burned year to date for this year. Last year, it was like around the same, I think 280,000 acres year to date in 2022, compared to the 5-year average of like 1.5 million acres. Is fuel moisture, you know, the biggest reason why we have had a reduction in acres burned in the last 2 years?
It's one of the reasons. And if we think about what we call the fire behavior triangle, where we look at weather, the fuels and topography. And obviously in California, most of our wildfires are in steep terrain, which makes it difficult to suppress them, and they can burn faster in steep terrain as well. But it's the weather component that is the most variable. And so that's not only includes just day to day, if it's windy, hot, and dry, or if it's cool and moist, it's also the seasonal characteristics. So if we had a very wet spring, if we had a cooler summer, that plays in the role in drying those fuels. But the fuel moisture content, if the fuels are really wet, you're not going to be able to burn it. And I like to use, when I teach wildfire science at San Jose State, I use an analogy, and we do this experiment where we go out and try to start a campfire. If you try to start a campfire with wet wood, it's very hard to light and it burns at low intensity. But if you have very, very, very dry fuels, very, very dry wood, and you try to light that fire, it's going to ignite much easier. So it's the same thing in the wildland. It's the same thing with our fuels in the forest. Like if they're wet, they're going to burn at a lower intensity.
So that all sounds great. I mean, we have good fuel moisture. We had less acres that were burned this year and last year compared to the 5-year average. And then even an update from the U.S. Drought Monitor last week, I believe, all of California is currently free from drought conditions. So all of this sounds good. But are we missing something when we just take into account historical averages and drought monitoring?
Well, yeah, because if you think about 2020, our biggest fire season on year, where we had thousands of ignitions across the state, all within a week or within a couple of days, and we had the CZU complex, the SU complex, a number of large fires burning across the state. That was a result of not only did we have dry fuels from the preceding year, but we had a heat wave the week before. We had a lightning outbreak. That combination just lined up perfectly where we had very large fires. So it is day-to-day weather. Another thing that we, especially in the fall, and particularly in both Northern and Southern California, we have our offshore wind events. In Northern California, we call those north winds or Diablo winds. In Southern California, they are the Santa Anas. And so the wind events really can drive extreme fire behavior, even if the plants are not totally moist, if they're a little drier. You get a big wind, you can still drive fire. But in reality, as long as the fuels are moist, fire management agencies and firefighters are going to be able to handle those fires a lot easier because they're not going to burn as intensely, so they can get containment much quicker.
We were just having a conversation about El Nino. What impact of this year's El Nino do you think will it have on the tail end of this wildfire year going into the next?
Well, if we get some storms coming in, as we should, hopefully, in November, well, then that will really shut down fire season across the state, depending on where that precipitation is. And as the if the El Nino is moderate to high, then we're going to get higher precipitation across the mountains throughout the whole winter. So next season, we could be set up for a lower than average wildfire year. So that would be good. It all depends on how much rain and when it comes, because sometimes we can get rain throughout the winter, and then the whole spring is dry and warm, and that can set us up for maybe a little bit earlier fire season. Whereas this last season, this 2023 summer, we didn't have a lot of ignitions all through summer, and it wasn't until late summer that we got ignitions and bigger fires. And that's because we had a lot of rain. Everything was so moist. We had so much snowpack. I mean, Tioga Pass didn't open up until July. We had lots of snow in the High Sierra, right? So that was an anomaly year. Hopefully, it sets up the same way as it did this year.
So as we're getting to cooler temperatures, we've had some rain already so far in the last month or so. What do you want people to keep in mind when it comes to managing wildfire risks?
Well, if you are living in the wildland urban interface or out in the mountains in a high fire risk zone, please be mindful that the vegetation on your property plays a big role in your ability for your house to ignite. So keeping pine needles off your roofs, out of your gutters, keeping things away from, keeping clear 5 feet from the base of your home, keeping vegetation managed around your property is really important, even if it's a wet year. And managing that throughout the whole season.
Professor Clements, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Craig Clements is the director of the Wildfire Interdisciplinary Research Center at San Jose State University, discussing this year's wildfire season. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.